This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
This one's fun. Newlywed's itchy groin was a sign of deeply embedded maggot form from the honeymoon. 36-year-old woman suffering from an itchy skin lesion went to several Florida doctors 2 months after her honeymoon in Belize. Learned the wound was a sign of a maggot, which had burrowed into the skin of her groin.
Maybe she married Jeff Goldblum.
Our question, how did you get that thing you got? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Angel. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, muchachos.
Hola.
Okay. I'm 62 years old now, but when I was 11 years old, my mom planned a trip to Disney World, and we all got in the plane and went to Disney World, and then we end up going to Busch Gardens, and, you know, there was a zoo over there, there was animals and all that, and I went to the petting zoo and stopped playing with the baby deers and goats and sheep and all that, all those different animals from Africa, well, the baby ones. And we got done with the trip. We went back home, back to Puerto Rico. And about 8-9 days later, I started to develop a fever. And I had that fever for like 8-9 days. I did not eat anything else. So they took me to the doctor, and the doctor looked at me, and he could not identify what I had, so he had to go back into the books and get the books out. And he diagnosed me with scarlet fever.
Scarlet fever? And,
do you think it was from one of the animals?
From the animals. That's why he said it doesn't transmit from human to human. It transmits from animal to human. So I must have got them from the animals they brought from Asia or Africa and all that. So my all my skin turned red, except on my joints and between my fingers and toes. And I had that fear for 8 days, and then when I weighed, I lost like 25 pounds for 11-year-old kid. That's a lot. Yeah. So,
were you in a lot of pain or anything, or just the fever?
Just the fever, just lack of energy, just laying there, not moving, not eating. And my name is in the books of science because that was like the first case of scarlet fever since the late 1800s, early 1900s.
Congratulations, I guess.
Yeah, back in the old days, the kids used to die out of that. You know, it was like an epidemic type thing, and it was people used to die, especially children. And all my skin fell off, and I used to peel the skin out of my hands and my feet. So I just became like a lizard. Back in school, they called me a lizard.
So you're called a lizard by your classmates, and you're in the medical record books. Hmm.
Exactly. So
winning.
I didn't thought it was kind of like bad after for me, which is like another time you get a cold, you know, you're sick, you got a fever. But by the look of my family members and my schoolmates, especially my teachers, it was like they seen somebody they had resurrected. You know, like I was supposed to be, you know, and the statistics, I was supposed to be dead, but I didn't. So
I think I'm
here.
Angel, I think they shut all that crap down. Because I've been to Busch Gardens, Tampa, 3 or 4
even
times.
Even animal stuff?
Yeah. And it was...
They gave his ass scarlet fever.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think, because I was there probably 82, 83, when they built the Scorpion or the Python, one of those two roller coasters.
All right.
I mean, that Busch Gardens, they do roller coasters.
Yeah, they're
like,
great.
The Loch Ness Monster up in Williamsburg is a great roller coaster. If you go to one of the parks, man, they got great coasters.
They know what they're doing.
But they didn't have any of the animals.
No, I don't remember that. And I've been there 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I think our boy Angel may have been the reason why.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they shut that down.
You got rabies, you got bitten. It's another thing to say, we gave you a disease that had been eradicated, as far as we knew, for 120 years. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that's not a good look.
Also, Busch Gardens. If you ever get a chance to go to an amusement park, you got to remember their association with beer, Anheuser-Busch.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to the park, like, they had a Michelob bar.
Yeah.
All right? Michelob used to make, like, 9-10 different kinds of beers.
Yep.
They still have them at Busch Gardens.
Oh, really?
On draft. So you can go in there and get like
a Michelob Dry?
Michelob Amber, Michelob Ice, Michelob, you name it. They would do like a style of porter, all that crap.
Yeah. Good times.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, I know the one in Williamsburg, with the association. They have like a whole like European area, and like I mean, I only went there as a teenager, but the adults were getting hammered.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. How did you get that thing you got? 206-803 route.
By the way, it's fine. The guy's old now, but when he said they called him a lizard, I felt really bad for him.
I mean, I didn't. I know I should. I just giggled.
Yeah, I know, but just the way he said it too, like they called me a lizard. Lizard.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that sticks with him, bro. You know what I mean?
Damn.
He survived scarlet fever only to be insulted.
Okay.
What is that?
Oh, Arn got shot with an arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Jesus Christ, dude. Don't say that.
It looks like an arrow wound.
I'm deleting that, Arn. Yeah.
Hello, Dirk. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
So, I was in California in the late 80s, early 90s. Was going to school in San Jose, and we have a beach day at school during the summertime, so half the class or a large portion of the class goes to Santa Cruz and lay out in the sun and do sports and stuff and drink. And I passed out, and when I woke up, I had that tingly feeling you get in your face if you ever get a cold sore. You know what's coming. You know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And started to get more and more, and it became my whole lip became a cold sore. And then it kind of creeped down my chin, and it became like a full-on goatee of a cold sore.
God, I mean,
I've had cold sores ever since I was a little kid, but you know, usually just one corner of the, you know, you could kind of cover it up or put your hand on it. But
that's
no, this
crazy
was
herpes.
Yeah, so I went to the Moffett Airfield because, you know, I was a Madigan kid at the time. So yeah, I go to Moffett, and they had all the doctors had to come in, and you know, you got to see this guy's cold sore.
I mean, do they actually say that out loud when they're there? Like, you got to see this, man.
You know, you can see, well, I mean, you see people, them going to get people, and then two more people come in. And
none of them have anything to do with the diagnosis. They just look at you and leave.
No, yeah. No, they knew what it was, but I knew what it was. They knew what it was. We all agreed, so.
Well, how do they think you got this? You said you passed out on a beach?
Sun. Yeah, it's photosensitive, you know, cold sores.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah.
So
that's what you guys are talking about, sunscreen. Usually that's what happened. You guys bring up a subject, and then I go, no, nothing weird happened to me. And then I go, oh, yeah, I fell asleep in the sun when you guys are talking about that.
So, I did not know. So they're not blisters. They're actually cold sores?
What's a fever blister, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, okay.
Herpes 1, herpes simplex.
Dude, I'm with you. When I was a kid, I would get them in the summertime all the time.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Exacerbates it. And yeah, so if you got one or you can feel one coming on and you get in the sun, that'll turn it right on.
I never knew that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, there's a right couple, now. Like, do you get them from stress too?
Yeah, stress. Yeah. That's in fact why I started growing a goatee in college, was because that's about where I would get it.
So that's pretty much shade, one
place.
And
I would irritate my face, wow. And then I'd be stressed, and I'd turn into a cold sore. So
also, downstairs, herpes also caused me
stress. No, I never had it downstairs.
No, but I know people who have.
I do quick to point that out. I did not have it downstairs.
So the word on the street is that stress.
I will get a cold sore in my mouth. That is it.
Will cause that. That's what they say in the medical journals.
Wow, man.
What? Being in the sun?
So, no, basically the same thing you said, you could feel it coming on.
Oh, yeah.
What I've been told is you could feel it coming on.
It's called a prodrome or something.
And downstairs.
You could feel it tingling. Sometimes I could mess with it in the inside of my mouth. It'd feel like a BB in my lip, and I could get it to come out on the inside, and then you got something you keep biting, you know, a canker or whatever on the inside, but at least no one could see it.
All right. Now, are you with anyone? Are you dating anyone?
Yeah, no, I'm married.
All right, so how often do you have an outbreak with your wife? And does she just stay the hell away from you?
I haven't had one in years.
Wait, you said this brought on by stress, and you said you're married. These two things go hand in hand.
Well, I'm also on immunosuppressant drugs, so that should actually make it worse, but it's, I don't know. That's still a...
Wow.
Okay. It is embarrassing, especially in a relationship. I got one, and it's just like, you know, I don't know how to explain it. You feel like a child.
Oh, of course.
It's just like, well, I was out in the sun and I was a little stressed about something. Anyhow, do not kiss me for the next 2 weeks.
That's why, like, if you're in a relationship for a long time, it doesn't matter. Right? Because they'll tell you, like, you're getting stressed. You're going to get, you know, bumpy face again. You're like, cool, I got you. No worries. But yeah, if you're, I don't know, 2 months in or something, like, hey, we can't kiss. Because
that's what it was.
And you're trying to, but the thing is, all right, so you're telling me this. I'm your boyfriend, and you said, like, can't kiss. I'm like, what's up, man? Like, it's from stress. You're going to have to do a better sales pitch. I'd be like, that's from stress.
Yeah.
Because if you're the average person like me, you don't know that that can contribute to it.
Well, it's also weird, too. I've been out back at a party smoking, you know, smoking a little chipper,
you know, a little chipper.
And somebody was like, can I have a hit? And I just went, no. They're like, why? And I'm like, you can't tell, but I have a cold sore coming in. Like, no, if you hit this pipe, like, you're going to get one. They were like, no, man. And I was like, no, seriously.
They still want to hit it?
Do you want it? Yeah,
do you want it?
No.
But dude, I got a cold sore.
Right. Like, I don't know if it's contagious or not right now, but, like, do not smoke this.
Tell you what, brother, hit it if you want, but I'm giving you the warning. All right.
How did you get that thing you got, 206-803-ROCK?
Hello?
I don't think I knew that growing up.
What's that, stress?
My girlfriend had cold sores all the time. I kissed
her. Wait,
what? No, I just...
Like acne or cold sores?
Cold sores.
She had cold sores.
Yes.
And you're just making out with her anyway.
Sure.
Have you guys never had one?
No, I've had cold sore, but never... I mean, never like, quote unquote, an outbreak. Like, I've had a cold sore, and then it went away, and then it's a non-issue for 9 years or something.
It's very rare if I get one, there's like ointment. But I mean, I remember being in high school and like, I just wouldn't go. I wouldn't go out on the weekends because it looks so horrible.
Sure.
And it's just, oh. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, cold sores are rarely a sales pitch. Like, try to find that thumbnail on the next porn site you go to. You got puffy nipple. Ooh, cold sores. All right. You got razor bump in there, too? I'm all about it.
Right. And everybody you go to, I just remember one time having a giant one. I was like, I'm not going. And then somebody's like, you got to go to this party. And then everybody's party. You know, you got to, like, yeah, I know. Yeah. Right? Like, I know, man.
Well, if you have one downstairs, it's almost like you're walking on glass. You can just barely, I mean, it's horrible.
Oh, no.
You mean just the pain of it?
Yes.
And then how long does an outbreak last on average? Or does it change each time?
Well, you're supposed to know when it's coming on. And if you know when it's coming on, then you can take the medication.
All right.
But if you have an outbreak... And you did not start taking the medication prior.
It doesn't do anything?
It does not do anything. You have to ride it out.
So do you only take the medication if you sense an outbreak coming?
Just like he said, you know it's coming. And you need to take that stuff now.
Okay.
Well, that was always the... I don't know if it's true. I read often online. That was one of the like dirty secrets about the Jersey Shore, that show. Was that basically they handed out Valtrex like Tic Tacs to those people.
I don't think that's a rumor. I think based on that crowd and what they're into, and this is not a slight on them, it's just the reality of that part of the country. Like, yeah, guys, Valtrex. Well, didn't they do the same thing?
You want to talk about a big pill. Valtrex are huge.
The Olympics used to do it with, they still do it with condoms, but didn't they start passing out like Herpesil or Valtrex or something at the last few of them?
I don't know. I think they go through a crazy amount of condoms.
Yes, they do. Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay. I was about 12 years old, and it was the first time I spent the night at this girlfriend's house, this particular girlfriend's house. My dad dropped me off, and the first thing he said to me when we pulled in the driveway is, do not get on that motorcycle that was sitting on her porch.
Knowing damn well you're going to.
Yep. And the last thing he said to me is, he left. Do not get on that motorcycle. He wasn't out the driveway 5 minutes, and we were on it. And I was driving, and she was on the back. And she had really tall grass, about 6 foot tall, all around her property and her neighbor's property. And we come around this corner, and I felt her jump off the back of the bike. And didn't think much of it. I just kept going. And I come around this corner, and I hit, there's sitting a boat on a trailer, and I ran right smack dab into it. Mm. I flew in the air. The bike flew in the air. And it landed on my leg, and the foot peg, which didn't have a cover, one of those rubber covers on it, went through my leg and out the other side.
Ooh, damn. Oh.
But it didn't even cut my jeans, so my jeans went through my leg, too.
Oh,
what kind of jeans were those? That's a hell of a sales pitch for those jeans. Were they Wranglers?
No, they were Levi's.
Oh, well, that's a hell of a sale.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, it went through my leg, the jeans.
But they didn't rip.
Didn't rip or nothing.
No, they didn't even rip, but I had a good... probably 5-inch jagged, like, corner. It looked like a corner cut into my leg and then a hole at the other side.
How long after you recovered? Like, what is the time period? Like, I'm sure your dad made sure you were okay, but then it had to be pretty quick after that. Like, didn't I tell you not to get on that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I missed out on going to Disneyland.
Oh,
Oh, well.
Then look,
lesson learned.
Deep down, your father was so happy about that. Because
yeah.
He did not feel like going to freaking Disneyland, I promise you.
Oh, I love Disneyland.
I'm sure you did.
Oh,
how old were your kids?
When I took them?
Yeah.
Oh, 14, 15 years old.
All right.
Yeah. We had a blast. Unfortunately, the Star Wars thing hadn't opened up yet.
I would
go back just to do that.
I would consider it now.
The Cars is an awesome ride. I mean, they had some good stuff.
California Adventure is supposed to be cool.
Yeah, you get the Park Hopper Pass, whatever.
Park Hopper, yeah.
How did you get that thing that you got? 206-803 ride.
What is the Park Hopper? If I get the Park Hopper, what are the benefits I get?
The Park Hopper means you can go from park to park during the day.
So there's only two.
There's only two in California, right? There's the Magic, the Disneyland, and then California Adventure.
But I can't go from one to the other unless I pay the astronomical fee.
So you pay one or the other, or you just get the pass that lets you walk in between. Now, the difference is Disneyland itself is full of old rides.
Yeah.
You know, the traditional,
Dumbo, Space Mountain. The little kid stuff.
Right. But when you go over to California Adventure, they got a roller coaster. They've got some newer, like a demon drop.
Soarin's over there.
Yeah, Soaring is over there.
So at my age now, I would not get the Disneyland pass. Like, I would just want it. Like, I'm there for the rides, man.
Correct.
And the kids are old enough that,
granted,
if you see Mickey Mouse, I know I'd probably melt down too, as stupid as it is. But generally speaking, like, man, I just want to get on the good ride.
Other than what the hell is the roller coaster inside?
Space Mountain.
Other than Space Mountain, that's the only one. I mean, on that side.
I mean, I would do both. Like, with my family, when we go to the Disney World, though, because there's so many parks, you get the Park Hopper Plus so that you can go for... Because sometimes, right, like, we might spend the day in Magic Kingdom, but then you want to go to Epcot just to watch the fireworks.
All right.
And then with that Park Hopper Plus, you can pop into a water park.
I'm just kind of new to all this because we did Universal whenever the hell I went to Florida earlier this summer, and... kids want to go to the water park, and I'm like, fine, effing whatever. But in my mind, it's just, we just go to one giant park, and we find a water park. And my wife's like, no, we're buying tickets for the water park. I'm like, where the hell's the water park? She's like, it's next to the so-and-so park, which is next to the so-and-so park. And then when we got there, and I saw the size of this thing, I'm like, oh. And what's crazy about it is, across the street, and it's a wide street, Disney World. They are literally, you look on one side, there's Disney. Look on the other side of the highway, there's Universal. I'm like, Jesus.
Think about it this way. So Disney World, you have the Magic Kingdom, MGM Studios, Animal Kingdom, and Epcot. But Disneyland itself, the entire of Disneyland, fits in just the parking lot of the Magic Kingdom at Disney World. That's how massive it is.
Damn.
How did you get that thing you got? 206-803-ROCK.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Missouri resident is in the hospital after contracting a rare and deadly brain-eating infection. Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services said in a recent news release, the unidentified patient likely encountered Naegleria fowleri, a microscopic amoeba that can cause primary amoebic... after water skiing at the Lake of the Ozarks. Patient is said to be receiving treatment in the ICU. The
ICU too.
Valerie lurks in warm, fresh water. While it's not uncommon, they say, for it to be present, actual infections are exceedingly rare. But the amoeba can also be found in unchlorinated swimming pools and splash pads, and even on an occasional tap water, per the CDC.
Cool.
Typically enters the body through the nose. So this is probably one of those things, like, too, when people do their with the kettles and stuff, when they're not using.
Neti pot.
Neti pot.
Yeah, whatever the hell those
didn't
are.
Didn't that take someone out earlier this year, within the last 2 years? Why do amoeba, is there any other organ of the body that parasites eat, right? They eat flesh, or they seem to eat your brain.
Well, they say, once it enters your body, it makes a beeline for the brain, where it destroys tissue. That's the first move.
That's what I'm saying. Why is it the brain? Why does it have to go for the brain?
Maybe brains are delicious.
I guess. Why can't it go? What's the thing that blows up? The appendix. You can live without it. Just eat our appendix. If you're going to eat something, eat my appendix, I don't care.
It's just what they like, man.
They just like brain. Okay.
I'd love to see this flex.
Is that like their chicken nugget for kids? Like, guys, try something else.
That's what I'm assuming.
That's their dino nugget.
Here's what they say you should do.
The brain.
The brain.
The human dino nugget.
A neo-amoeba's dino nugget.
If you're going to Lake of the Ozarks, here's what you do. Officials urge caution. If you're in the warm, fresh water, they recommend nose clips.
Okay.
Underwater, or limiting underwater activity and steering clear of stirring up lake sediment. where the amoeba tend to reside.
Some of the don't get in the water.
So you're walking in the water, don't swim.
Don't get in the water.
How did you get that thing you got, 206-803 Rob?
I always defend lakes and love swimming in them, but stuff like that doesn't help.
No, it really doesn't.
Well, there's living stuff in there. I mean, we have to expect that.
I know, but it's like when you say that, like, put it this way, man. I can go to Lake of Ozarks. Hey, man, don't stir up the bottom. You might get the brain-eating amoeba. Or go swimming right off the coast of, what's the beach in Florida? Starts with an S.
New Smyrna Beach.
New Smyrna Beach, right. Right where the sharks are all in. I would rather go to New Smyrna Beach.
What? There's a lot of shark bites there. Rarely is there a death as their lemon and some other shark.
Which are delicious.
They're black tip. Little tiny ones.
Okay. Yeah. So, again, so my question, Ted, do we go to New Smyrna Beach or you want to go to Lake of Ozarks?
I'll take you up to the old Stilly up in Darrington. We're swimming in a river.
Okay.
Well, someone told me I shouldn't, like, I always used to swim with my eyes open underwater.
Yeah, I did too.
Pool, lake, ocean, doesn't matter.
And they say don't.
I never do.
That's what they
really?
Say.
At a reflex, I close my eyes.
I feel like in the ocean, I will close my eyes.
What's that?
How do you see when you're swimming underwater?
Well, you just kind of guess.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And if you're in a pool, you kind of take the dimensions so you don't hit
Sure. Fair.
But you just kind of guessing, or you got to work up.
Okay.
I don't know. The pool, my eyes are open, and the ocean, I close them.
Because they get a little salty, but I mean, basically, it doesn't bother me.
I just can't
yet.
It's like you ever seen me try to put in eye drops?
No, you can't
keep
your eyes open.
Trying to swallow something. Yeah, I gotta like force my eye open and. I don't know.
You'll close your own eyes.
Yeah. So, like, when I'm in water, like, I'll be like, open them. And it's like my brain's like, no.
Okay.
Don't.
Fair enough.
Well, that's good. How did you get the thing you got, 206-803-ROCK?
Hello, Bill. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, this takes place probably back in the early 70s. I was about 9 or 10. I was a Navy brat, and when my father was on base, my mother helped run a Texaco gas station, and I had kind of learned how to pump gas. So one day, this guy pulls in with a motorcycle and wants a few bucks in gas, and my mother let me go out there and pump it. Well, during that time while pumping, he decided to go to the bathroom. My mother went back inside to watch the soap operas, and I finished pumping the gas. Well, I'm looking around, and the guy's still not there, but there is this cool-looking motorcycle right in front of me. Add to that I had just saw Evel Knievel jump several cars, like maybe a couple of days before in a program. So I decided I'm going to be Evel Knievel, and I'm going to hop on this motorcycle. Well, I'm wearing shorts. The motorcycle had just pulled in, and when my leg relaxed and hit that muffler, it was the equivalent of me frying bologna in a skillet.
Oh, yeah.
The smell and the sound. Yeah.
And it sticks.
So at that, yeah. And
it sticks.
So. Yeah. I put out the sound that I'm pretty sure only dogs could hear at the time. I could not even get a scream out. I immediately dove off of the bike, and I think a second or two later is when I was actually able to scream. So my mother comes running out, and I'm figuring, okay, she's going to kiss the boo-boo or render first aid. No, she yokes me up by the collar and starts beating the crap out of me. I'm totally embarrassed. I'm crying. The guy comes out. He's looking like, I don't know what the heck just happened, and he took off. Well, to this day, I still have a gnarly C-shaped scar on my calf muscle that has just never gone away, and a little patch where the skin kind of got pulled and torn off.
Oh, so, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Good times.
You bring up Evel Knievel, right? So when, what's the show? Jackass came out. You know, it was, hey, man, don't try this at home, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff you should say. They never said that with Evel Knievel.
No.
And like you said,
all of
us, every single one of us, we'd make our little crappy ramps. We'd grab our bikes, roll down, and try to jump whatever it is we wanted to jump, specifically because of Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
Not one time did they say, hey, kids, specifically, because he's your hero, right? Adults kind of figured it out, but this is your hero. Like you said, we have his toys. It's all about wheelies and jumping. Mm-hmm. Go as fast as you can. They never said don't do it. And we all did it. And all of us, much like Evel Knievel, failed all of the time.
They had this thing, this Evel Knievel accessory for your bicycle.
Oh, you rev it.
So where your grips are. You replace the right-handed grip on your bike, and this plastic contortion thing went on there. Mm-hmm. And when you revved it, it had a little speaker in there to go, then you take off down the hill and hit that ramp.
Yeah.
You realize, and every kid on Earth, if you had that
on your
bike,
what the hell is that thing called?
You were convinced you're going faster. It's like a little kid with new shoes, like, look how fast I can run. And you go, yeah, great. Same thing. So anyone that got one of these for Christmas or their birthday, like, we're jumping your bike. But we'd all use his bike, because obviously his bike is faster because it makes noise.
They still make these things.
Are you kidding?
No.
Okay. Jeez.
I mean, that would be cool if you're a kid with a bicycle to rev it up.
But it really inspired you to jump.
They got them. You can still buy one. Retro motorcycle. Ready,
yeah, why not?
I want one. I'll put one of those on my street bike right
say,
now.
Say, man, get one on the mountain bike.
You just get around. Get out of my way, bitch.
Pedal.
How did you get that thing that you got, 206-803-ROCK?
We used to run over aluminum cans. That's how we got the revving sound. You would run over the aluminum can, and then it would go all the way around, and it would stick on the bar, and your tire running on that can would just...
That's how you revved it?
Because it would resonate through the can out the mouth of it. And so, yeah, it would make that sound.
So when I was a real little kid, like, my dad liked Westerns. And our kitchen was so old, we had saloon doors.
I thought those were awesome when I was growing up.
Yes. But I would put keys in the back of my shoes and have my little toy gun. So it sounded like I had spurs. It bust through into the kitchen.
Did you ever kick them open?
I don't think I was that tall. But you're right. As a kid, you'll do anything to make like the...
Absolutely, yeah. Man. You want to recreate these moments.
Man,
at least Jackass said don't.
Yeah. Even when someone got in trouble in school, you go, oh.
It's just, and teachers will get mad, but we're like, look, either you could not yell at the kid or just accept that it's going to happen. Because, I mean, you know, 28 kids in unison.
Oh. Did you ever do the U?
What's a U?
Like, if Thurl was getting in trouble, like, everybody else in the class would just go,
you.
I mean, I was the one doing it. Like,
why does anyone want to be a teacher? I mean, it's just, you know what I mean?
How did you get the thing you got, 206-803-ROCK?
Hello, Roberto. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So this is Roberto the Juggler. How you guys doing?
Oh, what's going on, man?
Dude.
Doing good.
How many scars do you have, just by the way, just real quick, how many scars do you think you have based on what you choose to do?
I would say probably half a dozen.
Yeah, that's actually a lower number than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, from, a machete landing on the top of your hand and cutting your hand, or, you know, a burn from a flaming torch or something like that. So I've got some scars from over the last 45 years of doing shows.
Yeah.
But so my story takes place in Japan. I was out in Japan performing for 2 months. I did 160 shows out in Nagasaki at a theme park. And on our day off, a bunch of entertainers, we decided to play some. Someone had a basketball, and there was a soccer field, and a bunch of Japanese guys came out, and a bunch of us. Americans were all, we started playing soccer with a basketball, and
it's a little heavier.
Yeah, man, I was gonna say, it's a heavy ball.
It is a heavy ball, but we didn't have a soccer ball, and there was a soccer pitch there. We're like, cool, let's do it. And guy boots the ball, and I go to deflect it as a goalie, and it caught my ring finger and broke my ring finger. And so I ended up going to the hospital. The interpreter took me to the hospital. And as we're walking in, some lady comes out of the hospital, and she has a little monkey. And I'm like, are we going to the vet? Or where are we going? And he's like, Japanese baby. And I'm like, what? And he's like, no, just kidding. And so anyways, we go in there, and they're going to x-ray this thing. And, you know, usually they put, like, all the... You get an x-ray, they put all the heavy lead covers over you and stuff. Like, they didn't do any of that. And I'm like, okay, I'm a little bit nervous here getting this x-ray. And anyways, they x-rayed it. It was broken. And there's nothing they could do about it. So what I did is I taped my ring finger to my pinky, and I finished up my contract doing, I probably did about 75 shows with a broken index finger.
How much did you have to adjust your muscle memory based on everything you do Now your ring finger is taped to your pinky, which I understand, but how much did that affect your muscle memory, and how much did you have to adjust?
You know, I had to adjust a little bit, but, you know, I was still able to do it. I mean, it they were really happy that it was like I didn't cancel, and so that was great. And but, you know, I kind of locked into it and kind of figured it out, and from this day on, my ring finger is crooked, so I got a crooked ring finger from my trip to Japan.
Hmm. And you met a real-life Japanese baby. Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, man, when's your next big performance?
You know, coming up, the Washington State Fair. I'm going to be out there all 20 days. I'm at the Coca-Cola stage. And just did the Everett Aqua Sox game yesterday. Got a chance to meet Daly and Miggs. That was cool.
Oh, nice. Cool.
And, they were out at the ballpark. And got some NBA halftimes booked. I'm going to be heading out doing the Indiana Pacers. And I've got the Phoenix Suns booked, and so I'm starting to put together my tour for the NBA halftime.
When you go to the Washington State Fair, will that, being that you're a worker, could you walk into the concert and just stand and watch the bands?
You know, I if I talk to the right people, I can get in, and it used to be back in the day, you can recognize one of the usher people, and they go, oh yeah, go right in, but now it's a little bit more ticketed, and so if there was a concert I wanted to go to, I just talked to.
Well, I was going to say, man, Friday's Toto, Christopher Cross, and Men at Work, man.
We were actually going to take the day off and go.
It's sold out.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you. Why, like, I get college football is usually it's the marching band, but like I know you, there's Red Panda, but like, why doesn't the NFL doesn't seem to hire like people like you? It seems more NBA. Is there a reason?
You know, that's a big space to fill, and I've done some arena football. I think you just get swallowed up on a big, huge, football field. Whereas what I do works great for basketball, or I do quite a few hockey intermissions. They bring out a 20x20 carpet, and I can do it out on the ice. Arena football, things like that. So
all right, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Space in the space, yeah.
Yeah, and now that you explained it, Ted, it almost sounds like a stupid question.
I was thinking the same thing.
As soon as he said it, I was like,
yep, that adds up. I'm the idiot.
Indy 500, there you are.
Where is it?
Oh, Jesus. How did you get that thing you got? 206-803-ROCK.
It seemed like a deal. I'm just like, you never see him in NFL games.
No, when you ask, I'm like, why is that? And as soon as you said it, I'm like, that is exactly why. Okay. Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I got that thing that I got, which is a 6-month-old, by saying two words, and that's F it. A little backstory. So Melissa and I we've been building the house for years now, and our game plan was as soon as the house is done, then marriage, then kids, like directly after. But we're in our late 30s, and, you know, biological clocks tick, and everybody and their uncle's been asking us, when we're gonna get married and have kids. We've been together 9 years. And literally, in the throes of passion last year, I thought about all this in that last second and a half and just said, F it.
Yeah.
And like those words actually came out of my mouth. I asked her the next morning. I said, hey, did you hear what I said? She goes, no. And then I said, hey, you know, because there's a right time and a wrong time with these things, right? So I was like, hey, are you, in fact, you can make fun of me for this. I said, hey, are you stagnant right now? Like, are things flowing? Is ant flow here? Whatever. Like, she's like, did you just ask your girlfriend if she was stagnant?
Stagnant, yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't know the right word either, man. You know, as a dude, when we're trying to broach these topics, like you said, we try to be delicate. The misfortune we have is a very limited vocabulary, so we tend to take the most direct word. Are you stagnant? And there it is.
Yep. So apparently it was the wrong time, but she didn't tell me that. So for a couple of weeks, I was like, hey, has your aunt visited yet? Finally, one day she says, yes. Can you get me some chocolates from the store? And then that very next week, Father's Day was rolling around. And so she hands me a box with a frame, big framing hammer, and then a pink hammer, and then a little baby hammer. And then she says, by the way, you've been drinking decaf for the last 2 weeks.
Oh. And how old is your kid now?
6 months. You actually, all you guys met her over at the Tracy Tin movie house.
Oh, really?
Did that fresh little
How long did Miles hold your baby?
Say that again?
How long did Miles hold your baby?
I'm not dumb enough to let Miles hold my baby.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Good looking out. Good looking out. As soon as I pick that thing up, you're going to est all over me.
Guaranteed.
That's how it always works. You either get thrown up on me. Whenever you hold somebody else's baby, you're going to get some of their fluids.
I still like the two guys.
Drool.
They had kids like the same age, and Miles picked, and they were like, oh, here, take the other one.
Oh, yeah.
And they just started loading you up, and then you were like, whoa, it's too many.
How many kids do I have here?
Well, yeah. I mean,
any parent will hand their kid off.
Yes, they will.
I mean, trust me.
What
you
is
want
the
to
age?
Spend the night at whose house? There is none until they leave, until they move out.
No. To physically hand. I was at a brewery one night.
All right.
And a woman handed me a child that was. He seemed a little too big to be handed around.
Well, how big was he? How old was he?
Like, put your hand up to your hip or wherever, how tall you think this kid was.
I mean, I was. He had to be at least one. I'm guessing somewhere between like 15, 16 months.
Still good there, man.
Also,
I don't know. Just like holding him, I was like, and he was like screaming. I mean, literally, I held him like this, and I was like, this, like, I had to be like, all right.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I've found that, at least in my
experience. I didn't know the lady. She was a friend of a friend. I never met her. She was just passing this kid off.
Now, that's weird. No. But like, once your kids are old enough to walk, my experience was the only people they even want to hold them, if they're being held at all, are their parents.
Yes.
Maybe grandparents.
Correct.
I get
this
that.
Kid was walking.
So your kids will cling to you. But once they can walk, like, they don't want people holding them because to them,
they can escape.
Walking is like a brand new car. Like, you're going to open it up on the freeway. Yeah. Like, they want to take off running. And that is why kids run every single freaking place.
In the crawling years, like days, 6 months to 8 months to a year, the head is the biggest thing on this human being.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hold them, they just don't really, it's like a big old bobblehead, man. They will headbutt you and almost knock you out.
Yeah. But that's why there's a way to hold them.
I'm dead
serious.
It's
like for their protection
it's
and
like
your own.
Boom! And they don't even feel it.
And then they'll randomly throw it back like they're trying to get you to drop them.
I know.
Oh, my God. My daughter, Ava, I thought she broke my nose.
Oh, no.
I'm just pouring blood down my face. And she's just looking at me. I'm like,
what are you doing?
Jesus, man. She just headbutted me right in the freaking. I mean, I thought she blew the whole thing. I thought she broke my nose.
That's right. Little kids look like the person you see, like, on the bus or the subway who's nodding off.
Yes.
So the head goes forward, then they snap it back, and then drops forward, and they snap. And you realize, like, that's their best muscle control. It's amazing to me, right? In all the entire animal kingdom, we are absolutely, positively the most helpless at birth. Right? I mean, just like, maybe a baby kangaroo is worse off than us, but, like, babies. How did we evolve? Because at some point, it started with a baby. And they're like, man, there's zero chance. Again, like panda bears, you're not good on your own, man.
No.
Like, you need some intervention.
Well, I mean, we got pretty ancient weapons.
Like?
Arrows and stuff. I just feel like somewhere along the way, like, people were like, we got to start making weapons.
That's probably what inspired tools. Like, hey, let's go take down this mammoth. All right, we lost eight of us.
Mm-hmm. We need something bigger.
We need something
about,
else,
like,
man.
Right. If kids are too big to hold, but I will also say I was at a pool recently, like a big one at like a little resort.
Yeah.
I had to do some blocking technique.
What are you talking about?
There was just one kid that was, he was just sprinted all around. And every time the parents like barely turned around, he would just
take off running?
Right, down the pool. So you gotta block him away.
Did you block him?
Yeah.
Good on you,
like,
man.
I'm not going to pick him up. I don't know the kid. I don't know the parents.
Did you ever knock him down?
No.
Because kids ricochet, man. That's all
you
got
to block him, and then it looked like he didn't know what to do and was about to dive in the pool. So I kind of just grabbed the back of his shirt, like, hang on.
No.
Right? And then the dad came over and was like, thanks. It's like, no worries. I mean, he was like a little wild animal.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Your guess is as good as mine. Cut out the categories of the world's most deadly animals and the deadliest animals in the United States. And we've got your emails on the way next in the men's room at KISW.com.